Blog Talk Radio.
Carol the Coach. Sex, love, and relationships. We talk about it here.
Carol the Coach. Compassion with contemporary relevance.
I am a psychotherapist. I can be your personal life coach, and I can help you with your issues. There are no problems too small or too big. You can talk about anything.
Speaker, columnist, radio TV host, and commentator. Carol the Coach brings messages of wellness and empowerment within reach of everyday people every day.
Almost 5 years ago, I lost my soulmate in an accident. He was killed in a plane crash. Life just for me has seemed to stop.
There are groups all over the city. I mean, I teach one. It is a specific way to start thinking so that you shift how you see the world, which then shifts your energy, and then you feel better and you actually see things differently.
Carol the Coach. Always available to at carolthecoach.com.
Now I've got Russell on the line.
I'm 47 years old. I'm a truck driver. I'm married. I have a wife in San Francisco.
Okay.
I haven't been home in 6 months. My thing is, I don't know if I have a sex addiction or what the problem is. Why do I want what I can't have? And as soon as I can have it, I don't want it anymore.
You're right on target when you say, I don't know if I have a sexual addiction. Well, guess what? Yes, you do. And you know what? That's my specialty, Russell. So you're at the right place. Continue.
I meet women online, and I'm in a different part of the country. I travel all 48 states, so I love sex.
I hear self-esteem issues. You never felt good enough, and you didn't feel like you were getting what you should have then, and you're reenacting that now. Do you want to change that about yourself? You get what you need. I got an interesting email this week. He said,
but there are a lot of issues with sexual addiction that typically one can't talk about. And that's what this show is all about. It is about being able to talk about those very tough situations. Hi, I'm Carol the Coach, and I am here to bring you information from the experts. That's what it's all about. And so I am so happy to be talking with you today. You know that you can always email me at carolthecoach@aol.com or go to my website, www.sexhelpwithcarolthecoach. And that will give you the most information that you can get about how to contact me, how to listen to the show, and how to be getting the new ebook that we're going to be putting out here in the next couple of months on transcripts from the show. So, hey, I am so excited to be contacting you and letting you know that we got that coming up. That means that we're going to have this ebook that has some of the greatest experts in the field of sexual abuse talking about different issues that I know will be helpful for you. So I am feeling so happy that we can do that for you. Now, I'm hearing a little backdrop of, I don't know what it is. We are having a storm here in Indianapolis, so I hope that it's not too concerning to you. And I know that it so oftentimes depends on the internet as to, you know, what comes through, what doesn't. I have had times when the internet has gone down. So I am just, I put you on speaker, hoping that that would be clear. And I wanted to talk to you tonight about who we're going to have on the show. Because truly, we do have the experts, and tonight I have Adam Calvert, what am I thinking? He's a licensed professional counselor and supervisor for CSAT. So this is a guy who knows it all, and he is going to be talking about the 1520s Embark Men's Recovery Intensive. You know, it's a 4-day event designed to provide a jump start for the recovery journey. The intensive focuses specifically on sexual addiction and involves a comprehensive approach to healing that goes beyond the acting out. In other words, it gets to the root issues of why somebody acts out and has a compulsion like sexual addiction. Everybody knows this is unwanted behavior, and yet there's a driver to that. You know, I know that in my work with men, oftentimes what ends up happening is that men and women are either driven by some sort of trauma that contributes to the problem, or they get involved in habitual behavior that becomes obsessive and compulsive and out of control, one or the other. And certainly the Embark Men's Recovery Intensive works on that traumatic behavior that drives the sexual addiction. It involves a 12-step model that integrates scripture-based Christian theology. And it will also help people that have that very, very obsessive-compulsive, unwanted behavior that, let's face it, you may want to stop, but unless you have the tools in place, you won't be able to. So I can't wait to interview Adam and hear what he has to say about this 4-day intensive. Now, oftentimes feelings, unresolved feelings, are part of that driving force that occurs in sexual addiction. I know I was talking tonight to my men's group, and clearly anger could involve an enmeshed relationship with a mother. It could involve the loss of a parental influence. It could involve child abuse. It could involve being bullied. I mean, all of those factors can lead to behaviors that actually numb and medicate that sense of being wronged. And that is a contributing factor to sexual addiction. And so what did I do tonight? Well, I've got one guy who I said, hey, you know, you need to talk to your perpetrator and write two letters for me. This is an actuality where sexual abuse has occurred. And I said, you know, you need to write a venomous letter that is hateful, it's ugly, it's not politically correct, it uses cuss words, it has horrible images, and it tells the perpetrator how mad you are at having been violated. And then you're to write a civil letter. And the civil letter is the adult. The adult that says, this is how your behavior affected me. And when that occurs, so oftentimes what ends up happening is that there is a shift in empowerment. You know, anger in and of itself is neither bad nor good. It is just a feeling. And I say that anger can actually motivate you to get healthy. However, anger that sits inside of you and doesn't get processed will end up backfiring on you and resulting in lots of ugly, angry feelings that then get repressed, suppressed, denied, rationalized, justified, or minimized. And when those things happen, oftentimes medicinal behaviors like sexual addiction will occur to numb out the person. And that is the very thing that we are avoiding. Okay, so that was one assignment. The second assignment I gave was to a man who continues to work his butt off. He is always busy. He's always doing for others. He lends money, unsolicited money, unnecessarily. And he really wants to stop that behavior. Well, we know that those behaviors keep him from feeling. So I said, hey, you need to write 100 reasons that you're angry. Okay. Now, I got an email from Sandy and Paul this week It was actually Sandy. And she said, boy, I really learned a lot last week from you reading my email. And I wanted to talk to you and update you about what has occurred since my last email. And then she said, I followed your advice. I've met with a CSAT psychotherapist, and she believes that my husband exhibits the signs of late-stage sexual addiction, experiencing sexual anorexia. Of course, she hasn't met with him. Sandy says, my husband has moved to the basement into a cot and a sleeping bag, and he has said that he wants to be clear about his divorce path, as sleeping in the same bed will give me hope. So he has expressed some concern that he doesn't want to send double messages, and he doesn't want me to touch him, and of course he doesn't want to touch me. She says, I have read even more about sexual addiction and partners of sexual addiction books. She's attended two Essanon meetings, and so she's felt some gratification because they're talking to her about some of the same things that she has experienced. She says, my husband voluntarily took the online SAS test and scored a 6. This was to shut me up about my concerns. She says, my husband also overindulges in alcohol, and that is a long-standing pattern. Lots of things have happened to him. As a result, he's fallen, he's broken bones, he masturbates, and I catch him. He is just out of control. There are also things, she says, that are troublesome and make me question possible sexual addiction. And I'm thinking, Sandy, your therapist has said he's in the late stages of sexual addiction. So your concern is your husband's constant denial, and I got to tell you, my concern is your denial. Now, what I want to say to you is, what can you do to take care of yourself, Sandy? It's like you are obsessed with what he says, what he does, and what he doesn't say. But really, it's time to take care of you, and going to those Essanon meetings will likely help you. As well as, I've got to say, you know, it's about self-care. And I haven't read anything in here that talks about what you are doing to take care of yourself. And let me tell you, I know it's normal and natural to want to obsess about his behaviors, but it's time to take control and empower yourself and care about you. Now she says, can a sex addict have physical and emotional affairs at the same time? 100% yes, he or she can. Can a sex addict rely solely on masturbation with porn for now 8 years after acting out so extremely with 5 years of affairs in strip clubs? And I want to say, absolutely. There are all sorts of ways of numbing and self-medicating, and that is one. And then lastly, she says, could my husband just simply be a selfish, narcissist jerk and not a sex addict? Well, that would be possible, but you've given me, Sandy, enough indicators to believe that he's a sex addict, as well as you've talked to a certified sexual addictions therapist who's told you the same. So maybe he's all of the above. But the important thing is, as a partner, you've got to stay focused on you. So that's what I'm going to ask you to do this week, Sandy. I'm going to want you to pay attention to what your needs are and pay attention to what kinds of self-care can you do. Increase your meetings in Essanon and keep reading those partner books. And I promise you that with the help of a good sponsor, with Essanon and with the right reading materials, you'll feel better about your situation. So that's what I would say to Sandy, and your situation can get better with him. It's not a lost cause. So hang in there. It's hope, strength, and recovery. And maybe this intensive we're going to be talking about tonight might be helpful to your husband. So tonight I want to welcome Adam Calvert, who again is a licensed professional counselor. He's a supervisor, he's a CSAT, and he works with Wellspring Christian Clinic. Adam, welcome to the show.
Hey, thank you.
Yeah, boy, these intensives sound absolutely wonderful. I knew when I heard about them, I said to myself, I want to interview someone who helps to run this program, who does the therapy, and find out more about them. So tell me a little bit about Route 1520's Embark Men's Recovering Intensive. It's a four-day event, and how is it different from other intensive outpatient programs?
All right. And Carol, first of all, thank you for having me on the show. I look forward to being able to talk with you about this. This intensive was put together to be a little bit different. What we work on are, first of all, it's an experiential type intensive. We really stay in the right brain as much as possible. And we limit it to 16 men. So it's a smaller group, so it has a little more intimacy there. We'll have times where all 16 of us meet, and then we'll break in to smaller groups of 8. And during those times, we talk about shame. We talk about our core beliefs that may not be accurate, those lies that we were brought up believing. We take Marilyn Murray's trauma egg, and we kind of put our own kind of spin on it, I guess you could say. And we spend a day and a half doing the trauma egg and working through that in a group setting. Because it's experiential, I can also kind of make adjustments here and there. Like one of the intensives we did, it turned out that a lot of the guys, all the guys were experiencing this level of anger that because of their upbringing and some legalism in their upbringing, they didn't know how to express it. So it was coming out sideways. You know how anger does that sometimes if we don't learn how to get it out. So I was able to
Can you give us an example? You said coming out sideways. So what were some of the common ways that it was coming out because they didn't know how to express it appropriately?
Right. It was coming out through their addiction, acting out. They were projecting their anger on their loved ones. Some were self-harming. Not being able to maintain employment because they would get so frustrated and angry at work, they would just lash out or just not go, just these different ways. And each one of these men were kind of carrying their anger a little bit differently. But the commonality was it wasn't coming out effectively.
Mm-hmm.
And so I thought, well, all right, I get my anger out by I hit trees with sticks when I get mad.
Mm-hmm.
I live... my house has woods around it, so sometimes I get angry and I just go and find a stick and I hit a tree. And that's kind of how I get mine out. So I thought, well, maybe we can do that here. There are a lot of woods where this intensive is, and so we found a secluded place. And the guys looked at me like I was crazy, and I said, well, mm-hmm. I want you to pick up a stick that's laying on the ground and hit these trees and say what you're mad at. Say what is mm-hmm. upsetting, and as you say that, you hit the tree. And so once they started that, it just unleashed this emotional distress. I mean, it was just an amazing process. And then we were able to talk through it. And so one of the guys called it debarking. Since our retreat's called Embark, this was debarking. So that was kind of funny, and we've kind of added that into our agenda now too. But so that was a way that we were able to get some of that anger out and talk about some healthier ways to get into that anger and release it, so it is not causing problems. Because we all get angry, we just haven't learned how to deal with it sometimes.
And, you know, Adam, that is so interesting that you do that in a group format. Now, were there other men around when you were doing that?
Just us. Just our intensive group.
That's what I thought.
Yes. And so the other guys were able to also listen to the guys who were hitting trees. There were about three guys at a time. And so the rest of us would stand back and be able to experience it with them and have our own realizations as well. And then after it was over, we were all able to sit and process it. And it was just a very powerful moment. So that's one of the unique things about this type of intensive is that we deal with also father wounds. And there's some interesting things that I would love to share, but I don't want to give some of the experiences away because they're really cool. But Route 1520 is based on Luke 1520, which is the prodigal son. And so the theme around this intensive is a lot of the father wounds. And so some of the exercises that we do are centered around those wounds and how to heal from those. We have the Sunday morning, we have a hike up to for a sunrise service on the top of this mountain, and it has a beautiful sunrise of the lake that's down below, and there's some activities that we do around that are just very healing. And so there are a lot of different things that we do in this intensive, but we get to the shame, we get to the roots of some of those lies that we are brought up believing, and we do, you know, we still live in those lies at times. And then it's a great way to connect with other men in a very intimate setting. And, you know, sexual addiction is an intimacy issue. And this is a way that we start tearing down some of those barriers that prevent us from connecting. So
well,
I know I'm just rattling.
If I understand you correctly, obviously this is a theological Christian-based program, and you're out in the country in a very peaceful and rustic setting, where it feels safe to do a lot of these experiential pieces. And you talked about dealing with anger. Can you share some other types of information? I know you don't want to give away what they do, because in part, that's the beauty of this work, is that, you know, it may sound hokey, and I have a similar story. I actually worked with a partner individually, and I really do believe in the catharsis of letting your anger out. And so we went out to a drugstore and bought one of those plastic bats. We brought gloves, and we hit an old oak tree. And we used a farm area right down from my practice, and all of a sudden, as she was emoting and getting all of her feelings out to the west, I see a farmer on a tractor coming towards us. Now, I had asked his wife for permission, but he had not known about this.
Oh, no.
So he comes up on his tractor. He says, "What you doing to my tree?" And I said, "Sir, we've gotten permission from your wife to use this bat and get out our anger." And I said, "I hope that's okay." And he says, "Well, carry on, ma'am. We all have to find healthy ways to get out that anger, and you're not going to hurt the tree. You may break the bat, but you aren't going to hurt the tree." Well, her assignment was to eventually break that, you know, plastic bat, which she did. It took actually several sessions. So I know how important it is to really externalize all that repressed anger that comes out in the form of sexual addiction. Can you share some other things that you might work on? I mean, when people think about an intensive, what kind of issues are they wanting to deal with that would allow them to take 2, 3, or 4 days off to do the work?
Well, you know, coming to the realizing that, okay, I need to get away. I need an intensive so I can get into this recovery. Because a lot of times these intensives are that jump start into recovery as well. And so some of the guys who come there are not, you know, they may not have had much experience in therapy, or they may have had several sessions with a therapist. But they've decided to spend some time away from home in a safe place, even though for the first probably 20 minutes it won't feel very safe. You know, it's a little anxiety going on there. But we start working on, first we talk about the core beliefs, those lies that we believe from early childhood, these messages that we start getting. And we spend some time and we just kind of talk through those. We've broken up into the smaller group, so it's a little bit safer. I may not be answering your question correctly. You just want some specific examples of some things we do?
Yeah, well, you know, one of the things that I know that we were going to talk about was what type of, you know, information do you cover in this type of intensive?
Oh, yeah, I'm sorry. I lost my train of thought. I apologize. Well, we spend a large amount of time on the shame that we carry around, and the shame cycle and ways to recognize when shame is on us, and what to do with it when we do recognize it. One of the exercises that we do is that shame pit, and we work on that, and we look at the buttons that get pushed to send us into that pit and ways to pull us out. Instead of going to those unhealthy ways to deal with shame, we learn how to recognize it and face it. And we spend time talking about it in a group setting, because a lot of the guys have similar experiences, but because of the lie that I'm the only one who deals with this, and if people really knew what I believed, you know, they don't say anything. But in this group setting, it starts to open up, and you start to recognize, you know, I'm not the only one who carries this. And so, again, it brings safety. We do spend a large amount of time drawing out the trauma egg and then going over it in group and then going back through each of how I do the trauma egg is I do pictures. And so then we go back and we talk about these capsules. If you could redo those scenes, what would it look like? If you could empower, you know, that little Adam, you know, or that little Jay or whomever, you know, if you could empower them, what would that look like? You know, and whatever they need, we just kind of go through. And as each guy goes through their trauma egg, everyone experiences very similar emotions. But it also endears the community. It strengthens the connection and brings intimacy into the room, which makes us uncomfortable. So then we sit with that and figure out, okay, intimacy is in the room. There's vulnerability. What is your body saying to do? What is your system telling you to do? You know, run away, leave, scream, make a joke, whatever. You know, so we just kind of talk about those things and just bring light to it, basically.
That's exactly what I was talking about. I think that gives our listeners a great idea of some of the things that they need to do to heal the wounds.
Mm-hmm.
Now, what do you believe are some of the main obstacles that keep men from attending a valuable workshop like this?
Fear is a big one. And so, you know, and we do some work around fear. The cost. And so, and our cost is $1,740, I believe. $1,750. And the cost with the amount of therapy that is given is very comparable. And so, but we don't want money to ever be an issue. And so there are some scholarships that are available. There's a payment plan. You know, so we try and undo any excuse that may be there. So
Absolutely. Yeah. And it sounds like you're really willing to work with people on this.
Sure. We definitely will, because it is such a great experience. And you can go to the website. We'll probably get to this in a little bit, but route1520.com/embark, E-M-B-A-R-K. And it will tell you all the guidelines and the different information that I've just talked about. But I wanted to tell you a little bit about where it's located, because this is also one reason why some men don't go. So maybe this will help. We have this held at a place called Purcell Farms. It's P-U-R-S-E-L-L Farms, and it is about 40-45 minutes outside of Birmingham, Alabama. And this farm is really a golf course. It's called Farm Links. And it's a special golf course because the people who own it invented some kind of turf stuff. I forgot what you call it. Anyway, so each of their greens and each of the fairways are a different kind of turf. Okay? But it's a beautiful place, and it is very tranquil, and there's fishing, and there's hunting, and it's a very masculine setup. But where we're located is in a very secluded lodge away from the golf course part of it. But, you know, if guys wanted to come in early and play around, or stay late and play around, or just be, I mean, it's a beautiful place. And the lodge is very nice. I mean, it is very nice. So, and the food is incredible. I mean, just, it's all in-house. We all stay in the lodge. We all eat there, and we have the chef that comes in and cooks. Incredible. So you get very full, because emotionally you get very drained, and so we also want to, you know, give some comfort as well. But you can look it up on PurcellFarms.com as well and see the location. So sometimes we don't want to go because we don't know what to expect, but you can go on the website and see the facilities, and that'll change your mind too. A little plug for Purcell Farms.
Would you mention both websites again? Obviously, we're talking about route1520.com/embark, E-M-B-A-R-K.
That's right.
Then the other website you said was www.purcellfarms.com.
That's right.
And then you have one other website listed, and it might be yours, the WellspringChristian.com.
Right. Wellspring Christian, that is my where my practice is in Birmingham. And so I partner with Route 1520, but I'm in private practice, and that's my website, wellspringchristian.com.
And so tell us a little bit about that spiritual, scriptural kind of background that also is part of this intensive. I think for a lot of men and or their partners, that would also be somewhat, that would provide some safety and feel secure to them.
Right, yeah. Route 1520 was set up as a faith-based recovery group, but it is grace-filled, okay? And so we combine the 12-step model with the scripture-based Christian theology. So our higher power is God. And so now, it is not a judgmental place, though, at all. It's not a legalistic place as well. It is a grace-based operation, I guess you could say. But we do have some worship time. You know, a lot of the meditation music is going to be a faith-based type music. It is some of the relaxation things we do are going to be centered around some faith-based, you know, resources. And we just integrate, we just take the 12 steps that work, and we just integrate some faith-based information and some scripture that back that up as well. And, you know, it's not, being in the Bible Belt, a lot of times you can get hit over the head with a Bible. Okay, we're not doing that. Okay, but we do use scripture, and it provides just a hope. It provides peace that sometimes the chaotic world doesn't provide. I don't know if I'm explaining that very well, Carol.
No, I absolutely think you are, 100%.
Okay.
You know, it's kind of like, certainly for some people, if they don't have a Christian background, this may not be the intensive for them. I find that, at least I'm out of Indiana, so that is the Bible Belt, and that is an extra plus. And the fact that you said it's not judgmental, there's no hell and damnation, there's no making you feel guilty, you already feel
guilty enough.
It's a very loving Christian place.
That's right. It is. And it's a place of hope. It's a place of love. It's a place of healing that brings in the spiritual aspect that personally I believe that you really have to have. There has to be a belief. And just as a Christian, I believe that God provides that, that hope when, you know, all these other voices are just screaming in your head, you know, and a lot of times we have to get in touch with that still small voice, which in my belief is God. God can yell if he wants to, but I don't believe he does. And a lot of times we have to be able to tune out all the other voices in our head to hear that voice. And this retreat helps tune out all the other voices, just because it's a very tranquil place.
You know, it's interesting because I had Patrick Carnes on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he said what I firmly believe is that truly the easiest, the fastest, and perhaps the most advantageous way to recovery is to have a spiritual transformation.
Yes.
And so you have to have that spirituality in some way, shape, or form.
Yeah.
And that's what you're talking about.
Right. Right. I mean, I don't think I could. I mean, I don't want to exist without it. Okay. And so I've just seen how important it is, and the men that I work with and the families and the spouses that I work with, that is a very key component to the healing and to the keeping the hope alive when everything else seems to be falling apart. And especially in men, we don't know a lot of times how to stop and listen to that small voice, because a lot of the voices that we hear are, you know, being yelled at or being lied to or whatever, and they're just screaming. And so some of the exercises that we do are some of the meditations, visual guided imagery, okay, where we're quiet and we're able to really focus and hear that small voice and get to it and learn how to tune out all the other chaoses that are going on. That's some of the work that we do during the intensive.
Well, that makes sense too. Now, can you tell me, what does one do when they've gone through this 4-day intensive and they've gained so much insight about themselves and their recovery? What do they do when they get home?
Well, one of the things that we do as we are wrapping up is talk about re-entering into reality. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Going back into your world, and the chaoses that are going to be facing you. One of the stories that I have is I went to on-site years ago for some training, and, you know, at on-site I do my, you know, you do your own work. And so I was leaving, I was after an incredible weekend of training and just unloading and all that kind of stuff, and I call home and to tell my wife I'm headed home, and she says, oh, that's great, you know, by the way, we have a squirrel in our toilet, and the neighbor has come up to help, and so we literally had a squirrel in our toilet. And so I get this feeling of being inadequate. I'm not home. I'm the father. I'm the husband. I should have been there to get that squirrel out of the toilet, even though I have no idea how to get a squirrel out of a toilet. But anyway, so all this inadequacy started coming back over me, and I thought, no, I just had an incredible weekend of healing. My wife is handling it. She wasn't telling me that to cause me to feel guilt. She's just thinking it's funny that there's a squirrel in our toilet. And I had to say, you know what, I cannot let a squirrel in my toilet ruin my weekend. And so I kind of incorporate that into our exit as we're leaving. You know, what's the squirrel in your toilet going to be, you know, when you leave here? Because there's going to be something. And you've got to be able to take what you've learned, and you've also got to leave what you've unloaded. And as you re-enter, sometimes you may have to sit in some of the confusion, because sometimes these intensives create some confusion. They cause some change to happen, and you've got to be able to sit in that when you leave. And so we talk about that. What is that going to be like? You're going to feel uncomfortable at times, and that's okay. That's normal. That's healthy. That's what's supposed to happen. And what to do with that. We have each of the groups, the small groups, have a group text put together if they want to join it. And I still get group text from some of the events that we've had. You know, they're very active. We help you get referred to a therapist in your area if you don't have one already. If you want us to talk to your therapist, then you sign releases and we talk to them about what the experience was like, you know, what we covered. So we try and make it a very smooth transition, and we follow up. In a month, you get a letter, and I think 3 months after that you get another follow-up just to see how things are going. But these intensives cause a lot of vulnerability and just some rawness, and so we talk about self-care. When you leave here, your addict is going to go crazy sometimes wanting you to get back, because the intensive is an enemy to that addict, and it didn't like what just happened. And so it's going to erupt. Those chemicals are going to erupt. And so we just talk about plans. What are some practical plans for you to do when you leave? And we spend a good bit of time talking about that. So I hope that answered your question.
You do a real good job of providing lots of support. And I know it sounds like with this phone list, these guys can call each other and may even create meetings on the phone,
right,
after they've worked together in these intensives, because truly what happens in an intensive can happen out there. So if you develop more intimacy in the intensive, you're also going to keep that intimacy going and add to it once you get home.
Right, that's right. And the way Route 1520 is set up is that we have a lot of recovery groups in this area that are Route 1520 groups. They just meet at different times during the week. But it's also set up where different cities can also start incorporating Route 1520 groups. Trailer Lovern, he is the creator of Route 1520. And his information is on the website and about his story. He and his wife created this ministry after their marriage exploded because of addiction. They divorced. Several years go by. They do their work. They remarry. and reunite their four children and create this ministry. And so they want to share this ministry. So they're expanding these groups, you know, across wherever you needed one. So anyway, if your area doesn't have a group, a faith-based type group, then Route 1520 may be an option to help get one started. So anyway, sorry, I got on that little sidebar.
Well, no, I'm curious what made you decide to advocate for their program, because there are a lot of programs out there,
mm-hmm.
and obviously it's apparent that you feel very strongly about Route 1520.
Well, and I do. Birmingham has a very strong recovery community. A lot of the guys I work with go to SAA and Route 1520, and a lot of them go to SA and Route, you know, so, and so we all work actually very closely together. But with Route 1520, and I've just known Traylor and his wife Melody, and another couple that has joined them, Greg and Stacy Oliver, I've known them for a long time. And so when this ministry started, I just got excited about it. And then the faith-based part, and not being ashamed of the faith-based part, just really resonated with me. And so when Traylor had the idea of doing these Embark intensives, he asked me to partner with him and do the clinical piece of it. And so it just felt right, and it's been a wonderful experience. So it excites me. I can't wait till June.
Well, I believe that. And so the dates again for that retreat are?
June 11th through the 14th. That'll be our next one. And we'll have more throughout the year. The next dates are going to be announced soon. We're trying to get some of that worked out. But this one is June 11th through the 14th. And there are 16 slots. I'm not sure how many are filled yet. I didn't get that count today. But it is a, you know, it fills up pretty fast. So if you're interested, you know, just go to the website. And if you're not real sure, then email Traylor or Greg or myself, and we'll get more information to you.
And again, to get a hold of Adam, you can contact him. Well, I have Greg's phone number and email, but your email is BelfSouth,
mm-hmm.
and let's see here.
It's Counselor
Adam. I'm looking at it right now. CounselorAdam@BelfSouth.net. So
right.
That's Counselor, CounselorAdam, Adam, ADAM, at BelfSouth.net.
That's right.
You'll be happy to direct them if they're having any trouble. And they can also go to the website, and that would be route1520.com/EMBARK.
All right.
And take a look at the program, and it sounds like you can register online, or at least give them the intake department a call.
Mm-hmm. You can register online. It'll guide you through it, and then you start getting information about, you know, what to expect and travel arrangements and that kind of thing. And we'll help with any obstacle that we can. We will try and tear it down for you.
The cost could feel prohibitive, but truly, if I'm not mistaken, you said that was $1,750 for four days.
That's right. That's right.
And I got to tell you, if you look at other intensives, they're more expensive than that.
Mm-hmm.
This is a very reasonable intensive. And I know that you may feel like, oh, no, you've spent all your money on your sexual addiction. But I can't emphasize enough that it's time to start spending money on treatment and investing in you
mm-hmm.
as an addict. And, you know, oftentimes, to be real honest, it's the partner says, I don't care how much it costs. You're going because
that's right.
You need the help.
That's right.
And
that's right.
Although I don't know what you think, Adam, but truly the addiction community used to say, oh, you cannot change for anybody else but yourself.
Mm-hmm.
Truly, we're finding with more and more addictions, including sexual addiction, that stopping for your wife or your family is a good reason to stop initially.
That's right.
That is a reason to stop. And then what we know is that clearly what ends up happening is you end up stopping for yourself.
That's
so
right.
So there's just no doubt about it that it ends up being twofold. So if
that's
the wife is really pressuring you, that's A-OK.
Yeah,
because you have to rebuild that trust, that safety, and that connection with her.
That's right.
And I've got a lot of people that have said after intensives that they actually have a deeper, closer relationship than they ever had before. Because, you know, you said sexual addiction is an intimacy disorder. Sometimes the intimacy disorder was there to begin with.
Yes.
And it wasn't a result of the sexual addiction.
Yes.
It contributed to the formation of the sexual addiction.
Yeah, that fear and that anxiety around intimacy, you know, but there had to be an outlet. And so sexual addiction evolved, and it could be a family of origin, you know, issue that caused it. It could be abuse. It could be, you know, there's no telling what kind of caused it. And so spending some time to figure that out in a safe environment where you have time, where you have the safety of support, you know, allows you to open that up and explore, where did this intimacy issue come from? And this intensive, we'll get to that. It opens it up. And it is, there's very little downtime. I mean, we are, we're going. I mean, so, you know, it. We stop and eat wonderful food, but then we're working. So, You get the full money's worth.
Well, I absolutely get that. And, you know, you talked about the obstacles that would keep somebody from going. And then there are some obstacles, obviously, once people are there. I mean, it's scary to work on anger. It's scary to trust. It can be very fear-based to let go and let God.
What
do you do about that?
Well, we acknowledge it first and foremost. You know, we just say, hey, let's just call it. It's nerve-wracking being in here. This last one that we did, none of the guys really knew each other at all. And so they were all kind of sitting out. They all actually got there pretty early, you know, which was good. So they're sitting out on this patio, doing their name tags and, you know, getting their information and their booklets and things like that, and just kind of, and you could tell the awkwardness, you know, it was just uncomfortable. And we just kind of had to sit in that, and we talked about it. Then once we started, about, you know, 15, 20 minutes, we were a little bit warmer, you know, a little bit more comfortable. And by Saturday night, we have an event Saturday night, by that time, it was like these men had known each other for years. Just hearing them laugh and the camaraderie and the connection. I mean, it was amazing from Thursday afternoon to Saturday, like they had known each other, you know, forever. And so initially, we just acknowledge it. It's awkward being in here. Okay, let's just call it like it is. And then we talk about what is needed to feel safe. You know, we go over some guidelines of confidentiality and what we need to be safe and that kind of thing. And just kind of recognize it and face it.
I can tell from, you know, just, again, your passion and the way you describe things, that you do a real good job of making the men feel safe. Now, are there other...
Thank you.
Yeah. Are there other CSATs that also run this program, or is this primarily your ball game here?
Well, I'm the primary CSAT. We have another therapist, Jason McNaughton. And Jason actually had been a client of mine years ago. And he did his work, and he went back to school, and he got his counseling degrees, and it is so awesome working with him. When we started the Embark, when we talked about it, we needed another therapist, and he just came to my mind. And it is so awesome. It's kind of like full circle, you know, getting to work with him in this capacity. And, you know, years ago, knowing where he was, and then reconnecting with him years later, you know, after he's gotten his degrees. And so he's there. He's an awesome experiential guy. He really has a heart for men as well. And then Greg Oliver and Traylor, they don't have their counseling degrees, but they've got the life experience, and they've got their coaching, you know, stuff. I mean, the information and the status, credentialing, I guess. I don't know how to say that. Sorry. But so the four of us oversee the work, but I'm the CSAD guy.
Right.
So
well,
we each have a part.
The exciting thing is that most people that work in this field are in recovery. They do know what it's like. I remember talking to Patrick Carnes back in my training, and I said two things. I said, Patrick, is it going to be a problem that I'm a female? And he looked at me quizzically, and he said, of course not. And I said, oh, I like that. I go, is it going to be a problem that I'm not in recovery? I don't have this problem, this issue. And he said, no, not at all. But what I know to be true is that in any area of addiction, I think it's an added bonus when somebody has been there, done that, and exemplifies recovery. So I'm
right.
So happy that, A, you know, this man went full circle, and B, you thought of him and actually brought him in.
Yeah, and it's a wonderful experience, man. I just love working with these group of men. It's very healing for me as well. You know, it just helps. It helps me. So, I guess it's kind of selfish, but it is. And because we do care about each other so much, when those guys come in, I guess they can feel that, I guess, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And that brings a lot of the anxieties down because we're very comfortable with each other.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I want to thank you so much for sharing your wisdom and talking about the program, and I would encourage any listener who's on the fence or who believes that this is something for them to go to the website. Again, that website is www.route1520.com/EMBARK. And you can always email me at carolthecoach@AOL.com. And I'll be happy to direct you to Adam and to the program. So, Adam, thank you so much for your wisdom.
You're
and
welcome.
Good luck to you.
Well, thank you so much, Carol, for having me on the show. I really appreciate it.
Absolutely. Keep me posted on other things that you're wanting to talk about, because people just don't have access to all the information, and this is one way they get it.
Well, I will certainly do that. I really do appreciate your help. Thank you so much.
You're welcome. You take care.
Yeah, you too. Have a great evening. Bye-bye.
All right. Well, as you well know, it's the end of another great show, and so intensives are a way to do it without necessarily spending all that money on residential treatment. Now, I have to tell you, residential treatment is absolutely imperative in lots of different ways. But I want you to know, you know, that you need to trust your head, your heart, and your gut. What do you think about a program? How do you emotionally feel about it? Did you feel safe while you were listening to Adam? Did it sound somewhat exciting to give it a shot? Don't shortchange yourself. This may be just the way to jumpstart your recovery. Hey, I'm Carol the Coach, and as I say at the end of every show, there'll only be one of you at all times. Fearlessly have the courage to be yourself. We'll see you next week.